It is in the name of Jesus Christ that we welcome you to this weekly program of Words of Life. We are sponsored by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who want you to be a Christian. Our speaker is Brother David Johnson. Today, he will continue a series on the first part of the book of Genesis by speaking on the topic, Lamech Married Two Women. Remember, Brother Johnson's sermon topics come directly from the words as they are presented in the Bible. We now worship our Lord with song.
Is well.
Please pray with me. Holy Father, we bow before you with grateful hearts, thankful for all of your great love that you have given us and the miracle of salvation. We are also thankful for your word, that it is faithful and true. Please use the words of this program to accomplish your will and reach souls for you. Lord, some of our listeners are troubled with health problems and others are discouraged. Please provide them with the health and peace that are needed. And when you have finished with us here upon this earth, take us home to be with you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Using Genesis chapter 4, verses 17 through 24, Brother David Johnson will now present a sermon entitled, Lamech Married Two Women.
Thank you for listening to these Words of Life radio broadcasts. Just a note, an announcement here, that this lesson in the book of Genesis in this series is the last one that we will do. The reason being that the length of these messages that are normally done for 40 minutes just don't meet the time requirements for this radio format, and therefore this will be the last in this series of the Genesis book. This title for this lesson is Lamech Married Two Women. And our text is Genesis chapter 4, verses 17 through 24, which we will get to in the body of the lesson. Once sin came into the world, when people are left to themselves, they usually tend to get worse, not better. This was certainly true of Cain and his descendants. Cain's descendants were given a variety of talents by the grace of God. Nevertheless, their sinfulness also grew in a variety of ways. Our passage of Genesis chapter 4, verses 17 and following, is the first of the Bible's genealogies. As the King James Version famously translates, someone begat someone. So, Cain's genealogy clearly shows the direction that his descendants took in their rejection of God's ways. God again in his grace allowed Cain's lineage to prosper in their earthbound way. They would eventually produce a city, musical instruments, and the forging of all kinds of tools, that is, a culture. Yet as has been the mindset of the worldly, they only concentrated on the physical and rejected the spiritual, even from the second generation of mankind of Cain onward. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 17. Cain lay with his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. Cain was then building a city, and he named it after his son, Enoch. Cain's wife was obviously one of Adam's and Eve's later daughters. Consider Genesis chapter 5 and verse 4, or possibly a niece. God kept his word to Cain, and so protected him as a wanderer. Warren Wiersbe writes, quote, "Was Cain a married man before he wandered from the east of Eden, or did he find a wife during his travels? Did he tell her he had murdered his brother? We don't know. But surely he had to explain the mark God had put on him. It was normal for Cain to seek a wife, for he would have wanted to build a family. Else how could his name be remembered but by his descendants? Cain's wife bore him a son whom he named Enoch, which is related to the Hebrew word for consecrated. Perhaps Cain was attempting to curry favor with God by giving this name to his firstborn son. 6 generations of Cain's descendants are named in Genesis chapter 4, verses 17 through 22, some of whom were famous, end of quote. Many question how Cain could have married and produced healthy children by his sister or niece. We should understand that in the very beginning, genetic purity of the human race allowed this. However, by Moses' time, this kind of close marriage was forbidden due to genetic decay. Consider Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 9 that says, "Do not have sexual relations with your sister, either with your father's daughter or your mother's daughter, whether she was born in the same home or elsewhere," end of quote. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 17, it also reveals that Cain was then building a city, and he named it after his son Enoch. Warren Wiersbe again writes, quote, "One day Cain found a place that seemed right for him to settle down, and he decided to build a city. The earth wouldn't yield its strength to Cain's labor as a farmer, but Cain could labor and build on the earth and succeed. However, Cain never ceased to be a fugitive. The name of the land where he settled means wandering or nod, according to Genesis chapter 4 and verse 16. His citizenship wasn't heaven, Philippians chapter 3 verses 20 through 21, nor did he have any hope to reach the heavenly city," end of quote. Other Bible scholars teach that the name Enoch means dedicated or initiated. And so since the first city on earth was called Enoch after Cain's firstborn son, this was then symbolic of the new city where Cain tried to moderate his curse from God. The fact that Cain was then building a city does not necessarily mean that he could dwell there permanently. Another way of interpreting this city building is that since Cain was under a curse of agricultural pursuits, it was a necessity that he build a city. Henry Morris, a fine Bible expositor, insightfully writes, quote, "Building a city or urbanization is usually considered by evolutionary archaeologists to be one of the first indicators of the emergence of true civilization from a hunting and gathering culture, so-called Stone Age culture. It is significant that the true civilized cultures, by this definition, have existed since the very first generation following Adam, with no suggestion whatsoever of a long evolutionary advance from an imaginary Stone Age. Evidently, Cain, unable to survive either as a farmer or by trade, had to develop his own self-sufficient economy through the patriarchal clan which he established around his son Enoch and the city which Cain built for him, Enoch, meaning dedication, probably signifying the beginning of a new manner of life." End quote. The fact that Cain was involved in city building does seem to be an attempt, as was his rebellious nature, to defy God's curse that he was to be homeless and a wanderer, Genesis chapter 4 and verse 12. This comment about building a city also tied Cain together with the godless people to come at the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11 verses 1 through 9. So Cain's line continues, Genesis chapter 4 and verse 18. "To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad the father of Mishael, and Mishael was the father of Mashiel, and Mashiel was the father of Lamech." Bible scholars are unsure of the meanings of these names. However, there are some likely possibilities. Irad meaning townsman, Mishael meaning man of God or enlivened by God. Nothing more is known about Irad and Mishael. Methiel meaning man of God, and Lamech meaning conqueror. Lamech is the seventh from Adam and therefore is given more detail in this genealogy, as is the seventh from Adam in Genesis chapter 5. Enoch of Seth's line. Seven is the number of completion. Henry Morris writes, quote, "The similarity of some of the names of those in Seth's line as well as their religious EL endings, meaning God, probably indicates that the two family lines kept in touch with each other and that Cain's line continued to believe in God, not necessarily to honor him as long as Adam remained alive to exercise some degree of patriarchal leadership," end of quote. But with Lamech, Cain's line really began to degenerate far from God. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 19. "Lamech married two women, one named Ada and the other Zillah." Lamech is the first recorded rebellion against monogamous marriage. It is probable that Adam died during Lamech's time by comparison with the chronological details in Seth's line. And so the Cainites then became bolder in their rebellion against God, against his character, against his commands and ways. The wives' name Ada possibly means ornament, and Zillah means shade, referring to relief in hot climate. Lamech's motivation in taking two wives may have been partially lust and partially the desire to establish a larger clan in the increasingly violent pre-flood society for protection or even for aggression. So Lamech was the first bigamist, which means it is the offense of marrying one person while still legally married to another. Consider Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. So Lamech openly and arrogantly violated God's law given in the very beginning regarding marriage. Lamech probably was a contemporary of the godly Enoch of Seth's line. This is also the first record of polygamy, having more than one wife in the Bible. While polygamy was not rare later in the ancient Near East, even among prominent biblical characters such as Jacob, it is true that polygamy is never given approval in the Bible. So Lamech and his wives gave birth to three sons and a daughter recorded in Scripture. Genesis chapter 4, verses 20 through 22. Ada gave birth to Jabal. He was the father of those who live in tents and raise livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all who play the harp and the flute. Zillah also had a son, Tubal-Cain, who forged all kinds of tools out of bronze iron. Tubal-Cain's sister was Naamah. Lamech's children were given names associated with their God-given talents. Jabal seems to mean wanderer, as he was the father of those who live in tents and raise livestock. Jubal means sound, as he was the father inventor of all who play the harp and the flute, evidently the first musical instruments. So both stringed harp and wind instruments, flute. Tubal Cain's name meaning is unknown, although Cain, it is believed, means smith or spear. Smith, according to the dictionary, has to do with metal worker. Therefore, Tubal Cain was the father or inventor of metallurgy. Note again that according to Scripture, these advances did not take millions of years to evolve through mankind, but by the eighth generation from Adam. Tubal Cain would have probably have fashioned or instructed all who worked in weapons and agricultural implements as tools out of bronze and iron. The daughter Naamah means pleasant or comfort. The talented progeny of Lamech probably contributed greatly to his wealth and power as conqueror over the clans. It would have also led to the increasing materialism of the Cainite lineage. Again, Henry Morris writes, quote, "Evolutionary archaeologists have attempted to organize human history in terms of various supposed ages, Stone Age, Bronze Age, Iron Age, etc. The Noaic record, however, indicates that early men were very competent in brass and meteorite iron metallurgy, as well as agriculture, animal husbandry, and urbanization. It is significant that many kinds of bronze and iron implements are known to have been used in the earliest civilizations of Sumeria and Egypt. The same is true of musical instruments, and it is evident that the science and art of both metallurgy and music, as well as agriculture and animal husbandry, have been handed down from ancient times to these earliest post-flood civilizations. Modern archaeology is confirming the high degree of technology as associated with the earliest human settlers all over the world." End of quote. For example, Jabal not only replaced Abel's shepherding, but also advanced things by presumably raising livestock which could be used for transportation, such as camels. A commentator writes, quote, "The fact that Lamech's sons added to culture as founders of herding, music, and metallurgy is recorded in the genealogy of the rebellious ungodly line demonstrates that much of the image of God remained in even these fallen men. These unbelievers still had the ability to discover and invent. Believers should not equate ungodliness with the lack of culture or intelligence," end of quote. We know this is true even in modern times with Nazi Germany, Imperial Japan, and the former communist USSR, and still Red China today. Modern archaeology continues to shed light of ancient times in the general line of Scripture. In the raising of livestock, the first stage in animal domestication involved human control of breeding, food supply, and territory. Sheep and goats were the first livestock to be completely domesticated. Larger cattle and pigs came later. Musical instruments were among the first inventions of human beings. For example, in ancient Egypt, the earliest end-blown flutes were invented. A number of harps and lyres, as well as a pair of silver flutes, were excavated by archaeologists in the royal cemetery in the ancient city of Ur. Flutes originally seem to have been made of bone or pottery. Other than simple percussion instruments, drums and rattles, the most common instruments used in the Near East, harps and lyres. Examples have been found in excavated tombs painted on the walls of temples and palaces. Regarding ancient metallurgy, copper tools, weapons, and implements were smelted and forged. Subsequently, alloy of copper, principally bronze, were introduced as sources of tin were discovered. Then came iron, a metal that requires much higher temperatures and skin bellows, portrayed in ancient Egyptian tomb paintings to refine and work. Meteorite iron was cold forged earlier prior to its smelting. Yet the most notable member of Cain's line, as early revealed, is the boastful Lamech. Genesis chapter 4, verses 23 through 24. Lamech said to his wives, Adah and Zillah, listen to me, wives of Lamech. Hear my words. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. If Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech 77 times. A commentator writes, quote, "The 21 words of this speech constitute what is often considered an example of earliest poetry. The parallelism makes it clear that a single incident of combat is the subject of the triumphant declaration, so that man and the young man are one and the same. Since the beginning of various aspects of civilization is highlighted in this section, the exchange of blows perhaps marks the beginning of battle among humans. The sevenfold retribution attached to Cain is then associated with vengeance that takes place to right a wrong within a family, while the 77-fold retribution is reflective of the escalated effects of warfare. When there are cities and technological advances, these are inevitably societal tensions that can easily erupt into war. The text has moved from unrepentant Cain to defiant Lamech. Violence is glorified. The mark of Cain no longer seems to stand as a stigma of exile, but perhaps as a badge of honor that brings protection equivalent to invulnerability. The human situation is certainly degenerating, end quote. It's a stark contrast between Lamech's vindictive speech of 77 times versus the forgiving attitude of Jesus Christ, who urged Peter to forgive his brother 77 times, or 70 times 7 times, as according to Matthew chapter 18 and verse 22. The mercy that the Lord extends to Cain is presumed upon by Lamech as a sort of entitlement. Basically, Lamech claims if Cain, who killed his brother with malice and premeditation, was not to be the object of revenge, then Lamech could surely be avenged for apparently killing a man in self-defense. Verse 23, killed a man for wounding me. Yet note carefully Lamech's declaration. Lamech seems to minimize his crime. At first, it is a man whom Lamech has killed, and that in revenge for a wound. But next, we realize it is not a mature man, but a young man, perhaps a youth. Notice also Lamech doesn't address this toward the Lord God, but toward his wives. Even Cain appealed to God that my punishment is more than I can bear, Genesis chapter 4 and verse 13. Could it be that Lamech addressed his wives because he killed a youth close to his wives? In any case, isn't this a rather pathetic attempt to even boast in his attempt to elude revenge? Another possibility of Lamech's addressing his wives is that they need not worry of his being attacked and killed in retaliation, because he would conquer and so boasted he would kill whomever attacked him. Note that Lamech's including of Cain's protection by God in verse 24 indicates that Cain's story was passed down from generation to generation. It also suggests that Lamech thought that God's protection extended to him. Lamech boasted that he was entitled to God's protection without even asking God for it. Jesus stated, "You don't receive because you don't ask." Surely to ask God for forgiveness when striving to be in the line of godly Seth, we reject the ungodliness of the Cainites.
We pray that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The book of Acts shows us that believers repented of their sins, confessed Jesus as Savior, and were baptized by immersion in water. We encourage you to become a Christian. If we could help you in your decision for Jesus, or if you'd like to have a free CD of this and last week's program, please contact us. Ask for CD number 2122. That's 2122. We pray that God will bless you as you live for Him. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing them all.